This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov. I'd like to start this morning with a story about a young man called Jimmy. Jimmy is a Filipino, and Jimmy was working on October the 7th, 2023, as a personal caregiver for an elderly man on Kibbutz Nir Oz. The person that he was giving care to, Amitai Ben Tzvi, who was 80 years old, was murdered on October the 7th while Jimmy was there taking care of him, and Jimmy was abducted to Gaza. Finally, Jimmy was released in the ceasefire, which happened in late November. So Jimmy was a captive in Gaza for a little more than a month, and he was released back to Israel and ultimately to the Philippines. One of the things that I have been conscious of is that we don't really have much feedback from the foreign workers. Some of them were Thai, some of them were Filipino, other countries as well. Agricultural workers, personal caregivers who were abducted to Gaza and have been released since then. We don't really have much feedback from them about not only about their stay in Gaza, which we know wasn't good, but also how they respond to Israel in light of the fact that they happen to have been here as guests, working here, taking care of elderly people, undertaking agricultural work. They were kidnapped. They weren't protected by Israel. And they've come back. So it's hard for us to know what their view is about Israel and how they see things in light of all that they've been through. And the answer, for me at least, came in the form of one word. And the one word is the name that Jimmy gave to his baby daughter, who was born to him and his wife yesterday in the Philippines. And the one word, the name that was given to this newborn little girl is Israela.
That is unbelievable. Wow, what a tribute. Wow, incredible.
And I think that that really says so much, that he wanted to name his daughter Israela as a tribute to the country that he was working in. Ultimately, he was rescued, of course, in that ceasefire. But I think that one word says more than so many other things would say.
Absolutely. It's incredible that. Let's talk about what is going on in the region. Airdrops of food were made into Gaza again yesterday. How effective is this?
Well, let's start by saying that the amount of food that can really be derived from these airdrops is relatively small, even if all the airdrops land successfully in Gaza and that food is distributed. The truth of the matter is that there was a report yesterday that said a lot of the food that was dropped from the sky yesterday didn't even land in distance that could be obtained by people in Gaza. Some of it landed in some Israeli security zone. Some of it landed in the sea. Not all of the food lands where it's needed. And even if it all landed where it was needed, it would really be literally a drop in the ocean. It would be very, very little compared to the food trucks that are being brought in, compared to the distributions by the Gaza Foundation, that is a humanitarian foundation that is doing good work to distribute meals. In comparison to all of that, these food drops are minuscule, minor, hardly even significant. But of course, it allows countries like Jordan and Egypt and the United Arab Emirates and France and others to say, we have dropped food in Gaza, because some of that food, of course, comes from those sources. It is also very, very visible because you can see it from the air and it's easy to take pictures of it. And those pictures can be distributed on social media, on all the international media outlets. So it's very, very visible. And Israel has supported this idea of dropping food because of its visibility and because Israel can point to the international community's criticism by saying, hang on a second, you can see this food going in, as opposed to the food trucks, which go in somewhat under the radar, which get attacked right away. And we've seen the two different ways in which food trucks are entering Gaza. One is through the United Nations, where the drivers are driving these trucks at unbelievable speeds. I mean, I've never
no,
seen
No, I saw that. It was phenomenal.
Articulated vehicles being driven at breakneck speed through Gaza, where people are standing around. I mean, loads and loads of civilians all the way around, and the trucks are being driven. And if people jump on the truck and get killed, so be it. Mm. Nobody stops. Nobody even bats an eyelid. People trying to jump into the way of the truck to try and jump on. If people get killed through this whole process, this kind of a tunnel that's being driven by these drivers, nobody even bats an eyelid. There's not even a moment to think about it. It just is what it is. Then the alternative is through the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, where many, many people are queuing up in relatively orderly lines. It's all being well policed. People are getting their food. Everybody gets the same amount. There's no arguments about, do we need this flour or do we not need this flour? Pictures yesterday showing people who've taken bags of flour, have emptied out the flour onto the floor out of the bag because the flour is good. And then they've taken the bag because that's more valuable wow. than the contents of the bag, in order to use the bag to fill up other, to use it for filling other things into the bag. That's kind of another example of things that have been happening. There is an argument which says that Israel is now trying to bombard Gaza with as much food as possible, because according to the laws of economics, if you increase the supply, then you can potentially bring the price down. And I think that that might well be a tactic that Israel is using by hugely increasing the amount that's supplied, and thereby bringing down the value of the food in Gaza, and hopefully bringing down the price, some of these exorbitant prices that can be charged and that are being charged in the markets and elsewhere. So that seems to be the tactic right now where the food is concerned, because first of all, it's very visible via the air. Second of all, it allows other countries who've been very critical of Israel to participate and to say, well, they're also doing their thing. But the reality of the airdrops is that they are really not particularly effective when one looks to the heart of the matter. Why are we doing this? To try and feed people in Gaza? Well, those airdrops really are not doing that job. So, you know, we can use whatever arguments we wish to use to say, well, it is effective because the world can see it and we can show that we're doing whatever we can and the airdrops are going down and other countries are being involved. But the reality is that if you want to look at the impact on the ground, then Gaza Humanitarian Foundation seems to have the answer.
Really, really incredible to see how things are shifting on a daily basis. Speaking of which, British Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer has threatened that the UK will recognize a Palestinian state in September. I found the threat aspect very confusing, because if you say we're going to recognize a Palestinian state in order to, I don't know, achieve peace, if you really believe that this is the way forward with this, why would you link it to Israel's to a ceasefire? It really, I find it very hard to understand.
So we really are getting mixed messages from the UK administration right now. So Keir Starmer, when he met with President Trump at the Trump retreat in Scotland the day before yesterday, made it clear that Hamas would not be part of the future in Gaza, and that was really welcome. Then yesterday we have the statement where he says that the UK will recognize a Palestinian state should Israel not agree to a Gaza ceasefire by September. That were the words. Now, I think Israel has agreed to a Gaza ceasefire, because if you have a look at the way in which the negotiations have been conducted and the way that way in which things have gone, I think one would say that whatever the proposal was that the American administration laid out for Hamas and for Israel, Israel agreed to it. It's only Hamas who have been changing the equations and have been changing the way in which these agreement proposals are being looked at. So I think that, you know, we could be very technical and say, well, we have agreed to a ceasefire. It's just that Hamas didn't. So therefore, why would you carry out this threat that you're making of recognizing a Palestinian state, which I think we've all come to the conclusion would be something of a reward to Hamas. So if the previous day you're saying Hamas shouldn't be part of the future in Gaza, and now you're saying, well, we will recognize a Palestinian state, then those two statements seem to be contradictory. And it goes even further than that, because British Foreign Secretary David Lammy also said that the British government would begin to refund UNRWA. Now, UNRWA has a very, very checkered history, and its involvement with this war is also unequivocal. And so all of that seems really to be very contradictory and not particularly supportive of the idea that Hamas should not be part of a future in Gaza. But here is the little kicker. The kicker is that the UK government is not on its own. And it's not only the French government and the UK government, but there are now at least 9 other countries who have stood up and said, if by the time we go to the UN General Assembly in September, there isn't a ceasefire, then we will militate, we will propose the idea of recognizing a Palestinian state. Quite technically, how that's going to happen is kind of beyond my imagination or my ability to understand right now. But let's set that aside for a moment, because these statements, I think, are quite significant. And for me, Howard, it sort of ties in to the survey that was conducted in the US, where we now have clear indication that less and less people in the US are supporting Israel, and more people are becoming anti-Israel in all of what's going on here. Now, we would say, well, Israel was attacked, we're defending ourselves, we've got hostages in Gaza, we can't simply end the war without having some sort of a proposal as to how our hostages are going to come out of Gaza. Any logical leader, world leader, any logical state with any sort of responsibility towards their citizens would say, we agree with this, and there's no possible way that we could end a war without resolving how our hostages are going to be released. And yet, not only the US people, but indeed we're seeing now around the world a kind of groundswell of opposition to this war. And I'd like to sort of open up the debate with you and hopefully with the listeners as well as to why this is happening like it is. And there are a few things that I might put forward which could come into your thinking about why this is happening. Why do we feel such an anti feeling when other countries in our position probably would do the same thing and potentially even more severe than the way that we're behaving. And so the one thing that comes to mind is that just in general, the world doesn't have much patience for ongoing situations. The world doesn't have much patience for ongoing wars and ongoing situations. How justified or justifiable the situation is, at some point, the world begins to get tired of having to deal with this issue day in and day out, and therefore they simply look for the quickest and the easiest way to stop all of this and to stop having to deal with it. And right now, that looks like saying, Israel, you need to accept a ceasefire in Gaza or else. That's one theory. My other theory is that Israel has just been simply poor at public relations, that we've had some very, very good public relations people deal with things from time to time. Elon Levy comes to mind, and there are others as well. And they've been pushed out for political reasons, which are completely not justified under the circumstances. And we lack a proper voice, someone who will stand up and be the voice of Israel in the international community, the job that Elon was doing for quite some time. And he did, I think, a very good job. I know, Howard, that you are also a fan of his. So it's a shame that we don't have him formally representing Israel, even though he still continues to do an incredible job outside of the government circles. But it's not quite the same thing. So do you think that Israel has just been poor at PR? How many people feel that Prime Minister Netanyahu is the problem? Because that's another theory that's out there, that because people are anti-Netanyahu, they're kind of feeling anti-Israel from around the world. Some of Netanyahu's actions haven't been very palatable, and he seems to be negatively represented around the world. And the final theory is, of course, just the plain old-fashioned anti-Semitism, which just won't go away and doesn't go away. And the job that the Palestinians did in the decades leading up to this war was so good, to present themselves as the good guys and the downtrodden, poor victims in anything that happens where they are involved, that when the war broke out, it was obvious that they are the downtrodden poor victims in anything and everything. And that particular theory persists. What do you guys think?
What a difficult, difficult question. The one thing I do want, I would say, is that there really is, and we're speaking about tsunamis because there's one happening at the moment in Japan, but there is a tsunami of anti-Israel press, and I think the media has been, and I'm going to use the word infiltrated, by this type of anti-Western democratic value person that links very, very closely to what the Hamas brigade are selling. And the minute the war was ignited, they rose to a prominence. We've seen it with charity organizations. We've seen it with the press, where all of a sudden things just turned, seemed to almost be waiting for the opportunity to do this. And I think that even though Israel might not be very good at PR in those words, I think that the battle was a lot greater, has been a lot greater than we ever could have anticipated. We are way over time. Anthony, very, very deep and important question. Thank you as always. It's 8:02. We'll catch Anthony tomorrow morning at 7:45. Give me your thoughts. Give me your ideas.
That Israel Report was brought to you by The Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.